always good to be in the house of the Lord. Is this road you're traveling dark, deserted, or dead? Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in Him. On this glory road I'm traveling, many times I've stumbled on my way, but praise the Lord, I'll soon be leaving to that land of perfect peace and endless day. I can't see the lights of home, I can't see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm heaven bound. Oh, in my journey here shall end, I'll say goodbye to this world of sin. In that fair land I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory land. I can't see the lights of home, I can see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Praise the Lord, I'm heaven bound. Oh, in my journey here shall end, I'll say goodbye to this world of sin. In that fair land I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory land. Yes, I can see the lights of home, I can see Him on His throne. And I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm heaven bound. And when my journey here shall end, I'll say goodbye to this whole world of sin. In that fair land gonna take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory land. Yes, I can see the lights of home, I can see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Praise the Lord, I'm heaven bound. Oh, in my journey here shall end, I'll say goodbye to this world of sin. In that fair land I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory land. Yes, it is. What a glorious road it is. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way, telling the world that Jesus saves today. I'm in the glory land way. Yes, I'm in the glory land way.
For what you've done, for the opportunity to be here, Father, that you've made a way for a people to come before you, Lord, that we could stand before you with a clear heart, a clear mind, Father. Only through your blood and your grace have you made that way. And Father, we ask that you could just speak to the hearts of your people, for there's so many needs among us, Lord, but you can certainly speak to each one if we'll just pull. Help us to lay aside anything that would hinder the service, any thoughts that would be contrary. Lord, may we lay that all aside that we could get what we have need of, Father. Lord, we ask that you bless the offering we're going to receive. May we always be mindful of you, Father. May we just realize it's another opportunity to worship, Father. We give it back and ask that you would bless it. And we ask that you be with our brother. May you just give him liberty, Father, for whatever he says. We'll look beyond the veil and realize it's you speaking to his Father. And just may you help him and give him your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all of the everlasting arm. Now what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Got to fear when you're leaning and you're safe and secure, hid away in Christ. Got nothing to fear. Just keep walking, keep pressing on, keep running the race. Amen. If you listened in last night, you heard a message about running the race. Keep running, just keep pressing on. You can't lose as long as you're in Christ, because He's already defeated every enemy you'll ever face. That's my God. That's the glorious promise we have in Him. What would I do without Jesus? It's been a while since we did this one. What would I do without Jesus? He's the shepherd of my valley. Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, He's my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. Oh, what would I do? When I need someone to talk to, He's always there to listen with arms of love around me. He wraps me in His bosom. What would I do without Jesus? He's the shepherd of my valley. I couldn't make it without Jesus. Oh, what would I do? When my tears flow like a river and my burdens are high as a mountain, and when the ones that I have counted on have let me down, that's when go to Jesus. He's the one that I can talk to. I couldn't make it without Jesus. Oh, what would I do? When I need someone to talk to, He is always there to listen. And with arms of love around me, He wraps me in His bosom. What would I do without Jesus? He's the shepherd of my valley. I couldn't make it without Jesus. Oh, what would I do? When I need someone to talk to, He's always, and with arms of love around me, He wraps me in His bosom. What would I do without Jesus? He's the shepherd of my valley. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? Amazing that that's a hard lesson to learn. We kind of think that we can do it on our own sometimes. I can live this life all by myself. I can do this. That's what the world tries to preach. You can do this. And the reality that I have found is that I can't do this. I can't do this without Him. I need His grace. I need His presence with me every day. And He's a faithful shepherd. He's always there. Every time I call on Him, He's always there. He's walking right by my side. Oh, He's so precious. We've got a couple of requests on the list this morning. Sister Rebecca Rostrum requests prayer for recovery from flu and cold. We want to remember Brother Luke and Sister Jen Hantis this morning. Remember me. The day after Thanksgiving, I broke a rib. And so we've been singing just the same. We've been taking pain medicine to kind of take the edge off. And I say that, I haven't mentioned it until now, but I'm kind of hurting this morning. It takes a little while for those to heal. But we just believe God is just going to be all right. If you have a need this morning that's not on this list, our God is a healer. He's a deliverer. He is certainly a great shepherd. Oh, how wonderful He is. Brother Kevin, would you come, my brother?
God is good, ain't He? thank you all for your prayers for Misty and our family. She's doing a lot better. My brother Brandon said, just move the finger. Little baby steps. He's not a halfway God. He's going to take care of it. He'll fully heal her. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so gracious this morning that the King of Kings would come down and lay his life down for us, shed his blood that we may be redeemed back home, Father. Lord, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you for each individual that's here. And Father, if they're not walking right where you need them to be, Father, may you give grace. Father God, Brother Branham said if we knew how close it was, we would be on our face praying and not come up until that Holy Ghost was on us. Oh, Father God, may you bless each one this morning, both here and around the world, our brothers in Chile. Oh, Father, thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Bless the minister this morning. May you lay on his heart what we have need of this morning, Father. May it sink down from any intellect, Father, into our hearts. May it be etched on our hearts. May we ever walk in your presence. And if we're not where you desire us to be, may you help us. May your Holy Ghost brood over us this morning, Father. Thank you so much. Brother Nick, Lord, may your Holy Spirit touch his body, Father. Heal that rib, Father. Help him to be where you need him to be, Father God. All the ailments, Lord, that I don't know about, but you do, Father, both here and around the world, Father, may your Holy Spirit touch each one. Thank you, Lord. Bless each one, Father. May you open the windows of heaven this morning and bless us and shower us with the gifts that you have for us. We love you and thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. You might be seated this morning. We're going to ask Brother Robbie, Sister Joanne, Brother Brewster to come.
Come and be. our brother in the grave.
A stone was rolled, a prayer was prayed. Come forth, ring out, death ran away.
Belief was born as faith stood to say.
Come and see. See what Jesus did. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Come on and stand on your feet with me. That ought to be every one of our testimonies this morning. Come and look what Jesus has done. Praise the Lord. Oh, what have we got to fear? What have we got to dread? We're the bride of Jesus Christ this morning, believing and trusting in the only great and mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. We're going to change the order of the service, but before we do, would you just give that one who set us all free, who's healed our bodies, give him praise this morning. Glory to his name. Oh, just spread your wings this morning. We were born to fly. We're going to ask this morning for Brother Thaddeus to come. So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. You weren't born for the valley. You were born sky. Don't let your trials get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. God bless you this morning. Amen. I sure enjoyed the singing and the worship. That was wonderful. May the Lord bless Brother Nick and touch his body. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. I appreciate Brother Luke inviting us to come and having confidence. And just want to give you greetings from the church back home in Jeffersonville, Indiana. My father, Brother Brad Burgess, and Brother Daniel also. Brother Daniel, and as you know him, he wanted to give his greetings to you all this morning. So God bless you. And so, yeah, I tried to get my wife to come with me, but she didn't want to come. She's kind of shy. She don't like to be around people she never met before. But it's a wonderful opportunity to be here with you this morning, and I appreciate your confidence in the Lord and having me to come here. And maybe we could just sing another song. I lead the songs at home. It kind of helps me get a little bit relaxed. And you all got good singers here, but you have wonderful musicians, and it's a privilege to be able to hear all these musicians playing together. And I guess we miss our brother with the harmonica. He must be out today, but he's in Chile. Okay, all right. Well, I'm sure he's doing a good work down there with Brother Luke. Amen. Maybe we could just sing one chorus here of worship, and his name is wonderful, key of F. Yeah.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He is the mighty King. He is the mighty King. The master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd. He's the great shepherd. The rock of like His. There's no other name like Jesus, who died and rose again. For there is no other name, oh, there is no other name. For there is no other name, who died and rose again. No other name like Jesus. Can we stand and sing it? There's no other name like Jesus. There's no other name like His. There's no other name like Jesus. There's no other name like Jesus, who died and rose again. There's no other name like Jesus. There's no other name like Jesus, like His. There's no other name like His. There's no other name like Jesus, who died and rose again. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining me in those songs of worship, and just give glory to the Lord this morning. I don't want to keep you too long, but forgive me because I've been a little bit nervous. So it's wonderful to worship the Lord. He's the one that we want to give glory to Him this morning. Amen. If you would turn with me, I'm going to switch over to this other microphone now. All right, you have it? Can I just put this one under here? All right. I'd like to read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and I'll read two places. I'll read it in Isaiah, and I want to also read it in Hebrews, chapter 13. I'll just read from verse 7 down. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And I would like to also read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10. Through 14. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach.
For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You may be seated. Can we pray just a moment, if you don't mind? You can just stand for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come into your house. Thank you for the invitation to come, Lord. Lord Jesus, we look to you this morning. Pray you'll bless the reading of your word, Lord, and anoint everyone as we would speak and hear, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit would come into this place as we feel your presence here already. Lord, and just may you make it real to our hearts once again. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you this morning. So I would like to speak today and throughout this day, maybe this theme, and we'll take a different title tonight, but maybe going in the same theme. My title would be Jesus, a Sin Offering. Jesus, a Sin Offering. Now, we cannot speak about anyone greater than him. Amen. He's the greatest one to speak about, to preach about. And so I'd like to just take a few moments here this morning and speak about this. And, you know, may he make it real to you. Amen. I believe if you read the scripture as if you never read it before, then God will reveal it to you like he's never revealed it to you before. So as we go through these scriptures this morning, may you see it like you've never seen it before, and may God make it so real to you. May the words come off the page. And as we read here in Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. And he references, he said, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Amen. That Jesus' life was a life of an offering. It was an offering for sin. And when we think about the life of Christ, you know, you think about how he was introduced to the world. When John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, and we read about it in the book of John chapter 1, but he came and he introduced Christ to the world. And the words that he used here in the book of John chapter 1, the Bible says the next day John see Jesus coming, and he said, behold the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes. He was introduced as a sacrifice. Amen. The Lamb of God. He said, behold the sacrifice which takes away the sin of the world. Right. That's how he was introduced. When the angel spoke to Joseph and told him about, because Joseph was worried, should he take Mary, should he not? And she has a child, and where did this come from? But the angel came to Joseph in a dream, and the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the name Jesus, it means Jehovah is our salvation. When we look back in the Old Testament, and I'm sure your pastors preached on it maybe many times before, but just go with me this morning. We'll go to the book of Leviticus, and we can see that how that the offerings were made. There were different offerings that were made. There was sweet offerings of sweet savor, and there was peace offerings, and there was meat offerings, but there was a certain offering that was for sin. It was called the sin offering. And in Leviticus chapter 4, we read about it. And if you go there with me for just a moment, I would like to just read through this for a moment. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 1, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. If the priest, that is the anointed, do sin, and he talks about if the priest sins, and if the whole congregation sins, and if the ruler sins, and if the common people sin, that they would bring this sin offering. And it says here, if the priest that is anointed, if he do a sin, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish. The animal had to be without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and he'll sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock on the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle. And he said that he'll take off all the fat of the bullock and all the inwards and the kidneys and so forth. And that fat was burned. It was burned on the altar. And then verse 11, it would take the skin and the flesh with the head, the legs, the inward and all that. And the whole bullock, they would carry it out. They would carry it forth without the camp into a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him with wood and fire where the ashes are poured out, and it shall be burnt. And so I want you to notice this morning how that this sin offering was handled, because you know there was different offerings, and there was like a meat offering, for example, and the leftovers the priest could eat. But the offering for sin was different. The blood was sprinkled at the basin of the altar, anointed the horns of the altar and so forth. And the fat was burned, because earlier in the chapter it tells us that the fat, all that was the Lord's, and it was burned upon the altar. But the body of the animal for the sin offering, it had to be taken outside of the camp. It had to be taken out to a clean place, and there it had to be burned, because it was for a sin offering. It could not remain in the courts of the tabernacle, because it was to take the sins of the people, and it had to be taken out of the camp and to be burned there. And I want you to notice this morning that Jesus, his life, he was a sin offering for us. He was a sin offering. He was without blemish. He was without spot. And we want to get into it here this morning, but Paul says that he suffered without the camp. You know, and we go back to this name, Jesus, because it's such a powerful name. It means Jehovah is our salvation. And if you have a Scofield Bible and you go there to the beginning and you look at the notes of Scofield, and he talks about the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. It's on page 70 of your Scofield Bible there in Genesis. And he talks about the names. He talks about Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Rea and Jehovah Nisi and Jehovah Shalom and all these seven redemptive names of Jehovah. How many's familiar with that, right? Your pastor's preached on it. And when you look at these names of Jehovah, because there's seven names, but then Jesus was the eighth name of Jehovah, right? You have Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our banner. And Jehovah Rea, the Lord is our shepherd. And Shalom, and he's our righteousness and so forth. But then you come to the name Jesus, and it means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus was the eighth name. All the seven were wrapped up in one, and he was the perfection. He brought it back to the beginning once again. And when you look at these names, and you go through the Old Testament, and you read the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets, they spoke of Jesus being an offering for sin. Isaiah said, "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." Jehovah Jireh, we read about it in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain to offer the sacrifice. And it says, Jehovah, he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. We go there just for a moment in Genesis 22. He He said, the lad and I will go yonder to worship and come again. Yes. And Isaac, he says, Father, I see the wood. I see these things, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He was speaking of the offering, that God would provide a sin offering. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, because he lifted the knife and then the angel stopped him, and he looked and he saw a ram in the thicket caught there. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. It is said that in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Where do we see him? On Mount Calvary. We saw him. Isaiah cried, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. Amen. Moses, when he lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, and the people were being bitten by the serpents, he said, look, just look at the brass serpent and you'll be healed. And here Abraham says, when I looked, I saw the provision of God. Amen. We are nothing of ourselves, but we look to him. He is the provider. He provided an offering for you and me. Amen. Paul said in Romans 8:32, he said, he who delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So in Jehovah Jireh, we see the provision was an offering. It was that sin offering that was provided for you and me. And in Christ, we have everything. We have healing. We have deliverance. We have all that we have needed is provided in Christ. You say, well, Lord, I need this. I have this financial need, or I need this particular thing. It's all in Jesus Christ. You must just look at him and you have everything. If you look to him, he'll provide everything. You say, well, I don't know. This situation is beyond me. I can't figure it out. And you get so troubled, and you go to this one and you go to that one. But Jesus just wants you to look to him. As Isaiah said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Amen. Brother Branham said, we're not being pointed to Jesus. We need to be pointed to Christ this morning. Amen. It's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. Paul said, we are complete in him. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. All that we have need of, we find in Christ. When you look at the name Jehovah Nissi, it speaks about him being our banner. So in Exodus 17, when Moses and Joshua were faced with the Amalekites, in the battle of the Amalekites, Moses, he told Joshua, he said, go down there and fight. He said, we're going to go up here on the mountain, and Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses. And as his hands were held up, Joshua prevailed in the battle, right? And when his arms started coming down, then the other army started prevailing. But they put stones underneath his arms and they held him up, and Joshua prevailed. Hallelujah. Our Savior Jesus Christ has prevailed when he was lifted up on Calvary for you and me. Hallelujah. He was the ensign that was lifted up. Amen. He told Nicodemus, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Amen. Hallelujah. That Jehovah Nissi, our banner, it spoke of him being the offering for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha in Exodus 15, when they came to the place where the water was bitter. Mara, you remember that place where God brought them out of Egypt, and then he led them out to that place and they had no water, and then they see this water and then they go and taste and they spit it out because it's bitter. But God showed Moses a tree, and he went and he cut down the tree and he cast it into the waters, and the bitter water was made sweet, and he called the place Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee, because God healed the waters. Where did the healing come from? The tree brought the healing. Amen. And he was lifted up on that tree for you and me. In 1 Peter, let's go there for a moment. But in 1 Peter, you say, well, brother, teach us something new. No, this is what God is. He's wanting us to look to him this morning. Amen. 1 Peter, I want to read this scripture because it's so powerful and you know it, but it's good to read it again. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha, our healer, it spoke of Christ. He was on that tree. You know, the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, but he became the curse for you and me. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that it says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied with that offering of Christ. Amen. He saw his travail on Calvary. He said, it's enough. He said, that's it. He said, that's all that needs to be done. The price has been paid. You know, it says here in Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. That includes every one of us, friends. We were all born in sin. We were all shaped in iniquity. David said there was none that does good, no, not one. And Paul in Romans, he repeats it. He says, there's none that does good, no, not one. God looked down from heaven and tried to find someone, but God could not find a man that could redeem us. And the Bible says, therefore, his own arm brought us redemption. Amen. Hallelujah. His own arm brought us salvation. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, say it with me, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Leave it there. Amen. Somebody say, leave it there. Amen. God laid your iniquity on Christ. Leave it there. Amen. Put it on Christ where it belongs. He was your sin offering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Rea spoke of him being the shepherd. The shepherd. The brothers sang about it this morning. And it's interesting because when you look at in the Psalms, David was a prophet, and I love the Psalms. But when you look at Psalms 22 and Psalms 23 and Psalms 24, Psalms 22 speaks of his death. He said, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Psalm 22 verse 17. He said, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and they cast lots upon my vesture. He was speaking about the death of Christ. The crucifixion. And Psalms 23, it speaks about his death, his burial. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What it was, death was a shadow. He said, thou art with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's our shepherd. He's everything that we have need of. Amen. You know, I was listening to a message yesterday, and Brother Brennan was talking about how that Jesus said, by the finger of God, he said, by the finger of God, I cast out devils. Just by the moving of the finger of God casts out devils. Amen. But he was saying that when a sheep is being corrected or something wrong with the sheep, the shepherd puts the sheep up on his shoulders. The strongest part of his body, and he puts you up on his shoulders. With his little finger, he can cast out a devil. But when one of his children needs some help, God puts you up on his shoulders. He carries us, friends. He is our shepherd. We have no want in him. And Jesus said, there's this shepherd, Jehovah Rapha. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He said these words in John 10, 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. Go with me there. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So in Jehovah Rapha, we find that he was providing himself to give his life for the sheep, a sin offering. Oh, praise the Lord. When you go down to verse 17, he said, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. He said, no man takes it from me. He said, no man takes it from me. He said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In John 15, he said, verse 13, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than what Christ did for you and me. Hallelujah. And we could go on with these names of Jehovah, but they spoke of him being a sin offering. You know, when the wise men came, they brought gifts, right? Three gifts. You've listened to the messages, God's gifts always find their places and so forth. And Brother Branham spoke about these three gifts. He said they were so fitting for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was a sin offering. The gold was his deity, God. The Bible says in John 1, verse 14, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with us, and so forth. And the Word became flesh. God himself became flesh. Isaiah 9, 6, you know, he's wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, who was speaking of Jesus, the Father. No man had seen God at any time, but God wrapped himself in the robes of flesh. God became flesh. He wasn't second person of Trinity. No, it was God himself that became flesh for you and me. God crying in a manger. Can you think of that? The fullness of God put into a humility of a little baby crying in a manger. And when the wise men, they brought these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the gold symbolizing his deity, the King of all kings. Right. David said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Right. Isaiah said there's none like him, no, not one. There's none else, no, not. He is God. Amen. The gold represented him, the King of kings. The frankincense was a special like incense that was used in the meat offerings and in the various offerings in the Old Testament that the Bible required them to put frankincense with it in the service of the Lord and giving these offerings. Yeah. And so the frankincense, Brother Brennan said, it was a symbolism of him being in service. So you have him, the God of the heavens and earth, become flesh in service. Gold, frankincense, deity in service. His service, friends, what was it? His whole purpose was to give his life as a sin offering. The myrrh was the anointment for death. It was his anointment for death. In John chapter 12, Jesus said in verse 27, let me just go back up to verse 23. He said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He lived for one purpose, friends. He knew that his life was for one purpose. He had a 3.5-year ministry. He was manifested. He was presented on the world stage at that time as, behold, the sacrifice. The angel said, he is Jesus. He is salvation to take away the sins of the world. When he was taken to the temple at 8 days, 8 days for the circumcision, Simeon, the Bible says that he was anointed, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost was upon him, he came, and it had been shown to him that he would not see death until he'd seen the Christ. And he comes, and he finds Mary, and no doubt Mary was, it didn't look good, right, the way Jesus was born. It did not look good.
Right.
You know, it looked like he was born of fornication and adultery and whatever, but so... No doubt, Mary wasn't like the most popular person in the temple that day. But here Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit, finds Mary and Joseph, finds the child Jesus, and he begins to thank God for allowing him to see salvation. And he said, Mary, he said, look, your soul's going to be pierced, but this man is the sign that will be spoken against. What was it? He was pronouncing that this baby is an offering. This baby is the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world.
Amen.
Them Jews knew that it took a sacrifice to cover sin. They'd had hundreds and hundreds of years of blood being poured out upon altars and dead animals. But this was the one that would take away sin. Not just cover it, would take it away. Paul would later say that one man died once and for all. Even blind Anna, when she was led by the Spirit that day, and when she came to the child Jesus, she spoke that he would bring redemption. And Jesus, here in John 12, verse 23, he said, Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He set his face like a flint rock towards Calvary, and nothing would persuade him one way or the other. The Pharisees couldn't stop him. Peter, his own best disciple, couldn't stop him. He said, Lord, I'll never forsake you. He said, get thee hence, Satan. Right? He knew when he had to rebuke one or here or there, because nothing was going to stop him from going to Calvary. And he said, my hour has come. Verily I say, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. And in verse 27, he said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? His soul was troubled because he knew what he was going to have to go through. For you and me. He said, what do I say? Paul would later say, what can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And here Jesus is saying, what shall I say? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Should he say, Lord, don't let me go through this? No, he didn't say that. He said, but for this cause I came unto this hour. He said, this is the cause that I was brought into the world, to save sinners.
Amen.
Jesus Christ come to save sinners.
Amen.
The church has lost that somewhere. Friends, we are nobody.
Right.
He is everything.
Right.
And the church exists because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We were all sinners saved by grace.
Right.
And when we get a revelation of what he was called to do, then we can embrace the same revelation that we are called to go like he was called into Judea, Samaria, all the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? To find sinners.
Amen.
To save sinners.
Amen.
That's what we're called to do.
Amen.
We're all born in sin. He came for this cause and for that hour. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He spoke of his crucifixion in Matthew 26. told his disciples, he said, you know, verse 2, that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He said, in 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and I'm going to be betrayed to be crucified. Mary of Bethany came into Simon the leper's house. She had an alabaster box of ointment. She broke the ointment. She poured it on his head. They said, why did you do this? Jesus said, leave her alone. She's anointed me for my burial.
Amen. Amen.
Why?
Amen.
Because he was an offering for you and me. He didn't stop her from worshiping. He said, she's anointed me for my burial. I wonder if our lives are to worship him, to anoint him, to let his purpose, his will be done.
Amen.
He said, Father, what am I going to say? Take this from me? He said, no, this is the reason I came.
Amen.
When he prayed in the garden, they all forsook him. When he prayed, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. When Pilate examined him, now notice, I know you know these things, but the sacrifice was without blemish.
Right. Amen.
There could be no blemish on it.
Right.
When Pilate examined him, what did he say? I find no fault in this man.
Amen.
Luke chapter 23, verse 14. Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, he said, Pilate said, behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things which ye accuse him of. He was examined not by the church world, he was examined by the political world. He was examined and they said, I find no fault in this man. Pilate was meant to be a judge amongst the people. And he said, look, I cannot find any fault in this man. He said, I wash my hands in innocency because this man has done nothing wrong. He was found to be the perfect Lamb of God. In Matthew chapter 3, and I'm going through scriptures and, you know, you might get them, you might not, but Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus came to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Verse 14, John forbade him. John said, you're coming to me to be baptized? He said, I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, answer and said, suffer it to be so now. He said, for this is becometh of us to fulfill all righteousness. Why? Because of the Levitical law said that the sacrifice had to be washed before it was presented.
Amen.
He was the sacrifice and he had to be washed.
Amen.
And notice what happened. Because when Jesus came up out of the water, oh, praise be to God. When the sacrifice had been washed, what was the reaction in heaven? The heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and they heard a voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How could God be well pleased in this sacrifice? Because this sacrifice was perfect. This sacrifice had no blemish. It wasn't the blood of Joseph and the blood of Mary. The Bible says that we are saved by the blood of God.
Amen.
It was the blood of God.
Amen.
And the voice spoke and said, in this one I'm pleased.
Amen.
Oh, praise be to God. The prophet said that God's had enough of your false offerings and all these things, and it made God sick. But this sacrifice was one that was different. The voice said, I'm well pleased in this man.
Amen.
Pilate said, I can find no fault in this man.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. And according to the Levitical law, once the blood had been sprinkled upon the altar and so forth, the body of the sacrifice had to be carried outside the camp because it was a reproach. Paul said, bearing his reproach, we go to him outside the camp. Because his soul became an offering for sin. He who did no sin, but he became sin for you and me. Isn't that what the Bible said? He became sin for you and me that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Matthew 12, chapter 27, I just want to go through a few of the Gospels here now because the Bible says that the sacrifice had to be taken outside the camp. So if that's the way the Levitical law said, then surely somewhere in the Scriptures we'll read that he was taken outside the city. Right? So in the book of Matthew chapter 27, I'll go quickly through this. In Matthew 27 here, I think it's in verse 32. It says, they mocked him. They put the robe on him. They put his own raiment and they led him away to be crucified. In verse 32 it says, and as they came out of the city, right? He said, well, it doesn't say city. Well, we'll go on. And there was that man, Simon, and they placed the cross on him to carry the cross for Jesus. In Mark chapter 15, verse 20. This is Sunday morning Bible study, right? And when they had mocked him and they took the purple from him and put his own clothes on him, they led him out. They took him out. They led him out to crucify him. Luke chapter 23, verse 26. The Bible says that Pilate gave that sentence that he was to be required, that it should be as they required, because they said, crucify him. And they released Barabbas. And verse 26 of Luke 23, and as they led him away, they laid hold on Simon, Cyrene, coming out of the country. And lastly, John makes it the most clear in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 16. Then they delivered him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote the title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. It wasn't inside the city, friends. He was taken out. His body was taken out. Now notice the blood was poured out on the altar in the tabernacle in the city. He was beaten 39 stripes. His blood dripped those streets of Jerusalem. And his blood was poured out. But his body was carried out. They led him out to the place called Golgotha, where he gave his life, friends. His soul was an offering for you and me. In that same place, because the Bible said it had to be a clean place, right? So the Bible says in John there, as we're reading there in verse 41 of John 19, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden in the garden, a new sepulcher where never a man was laid. It was a clean place. And our God was laid there. He died, he was buried, and he rose from the grave outside the city. Outside the center of religion, our God died, was buried, and rose again outside of man's theology, outside of man's arrangements of what man had created to be the center of the religious world. Jesus Christ, your offering, died, buried, and rose again outside of everything they were thinking. And friends, the only way that we can come to him is step away from our own ability. Step away from what we think we can do to save ourselves. You can't heal yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't deliver yourself. He is the only one. When you're willing to step away from your own ability and put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you can enter into his death. You can enter into his burial. And you can enter into his resurrection. Paul said it like this: bearing his reproach, we have to go to him outside the city, outside the camp. Praise the Lord. That day on Calvary settled the question. Brother Branham said it settled the sin question. Satan's back was broken. It was finished. Now, friends, in the Old Testament, they had to be identified with your sacrifice. You say, Brother Thaddeus, that's a great story. 2,000 years ago it happened. But they had to be identified. Amen. The Bible says that they had to lay their hands upon the head of the sacrifice. Now, the only way you can be identified with that sacrifice. See, the blood was poured out. The literal chemistry of Jesus Christ was poured out on the ground. But when he hung on the cross, my Bible says and yours says that he gave up the ghost.
That's right. Amen.
The whole purpose was that the blood, which was the life of God, it was being drained out when they beat him and the stripes on his back, more blood was poured out, more of his life was exiting his body, right? Until finally, when he hung there, he couldn't take it anymore. And the last drops of blood, that life that had completely drained and his life had gone from him, the Bible says he spoke in tongues and he gave up the ghost.
Amen.
What it was God had to, the Bible says, by his stripes. And when those stripes were going on his back, that was for your healing. There was life going from the body of Jesus for your healing this morning, for your deliverance. As the stripes landed on his back and the blood was gushing out, it was life going from him for your healing. Hallelujah. It was part of his life going out because of the stripes on his back. But the greatest thing of all was when his life was completely released from his body. The only way you could be identified with him this morning if it's the life that was released from him comes upon you.
Amen.
And when that life comes upon you, friends, it's over. It's finished because now you bear in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. The life that I now live is through faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Friends, there's no salvation outside of that. Until that point, you're just believing on Christ. You're not believing in Christ, but you're believing in Christ when he is in you. Do you see the difference? The only way they were identified was because they had to touch the sacrifice. The only way you can be identified with him this morning is if he can touch you. Paul said, somewhere I think it was in the writings, he said, you know, the witness of man is fine, but the witness of God is greater. When God witnesses that you have died like he died, that you've surrendered your life, and you say, Lord, I can't do it without you, Lord. Lord, be my shepherd, Lord. Be my healer, Lord. Be my guide, Lord God. And his life comes into you. Friends, that is the essence of the gospel. That is the gospel. The life comes upon you and you're identified with him. This is the way the people of the Bible got saved. Somewhere now in this hour, people got it confused. They said, well, just believe on Christ. No, that was Nicodemus' doctrine. He said, you must be born again. That was the doctrine of those that were in Acts 19. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you been identified with your sacrifice? Like the Levitical law says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. That's why we need it, friends. Without that, Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. They didn't understand what it meant. They thought it was cannibalism. Jesus was talking about true fellowship, right? True communion. Oh, you say, well, I take communion. I take the bread. I take the wine. But have you been identified with your sacrifice? Has the life of the blood come upon you? But friends, if that life comes upon the believer, there's nothing that can stand in your way. Brother Branham said, not even cancer, right? Oh, yeah. There's nothing that can stand in the way. Right. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Let's close. Let's bow our heads. You say, well, that's pretty simple, Brother Thaddeus. Greater love had no man than this. With our heads bowed this morning, hallelujah. Maybe there's someone here today that you say, Brother, I still got my sins upon me. I want to be free from sin. Oh, brother, look to Christ this morning. He was your offering. He took your place. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were buried for me. By your stripes I'm healed. I believe you rose from the grave for me, Lord. And you sent your life that I might be identified with my sacrifice. And you'd slip up your hand this morning and you'd say, Lord, that's me. I want to be identified. I want a greater identification. Lord, make Calvary more real to me this morning. The presence of God is here. You felt it in the singing. He's here tonight, this morning. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you say, that's Baptist doctrine. No, that's Bible doctrine. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, God can bring salvation to your heart this morning. God can bring a renewal of his presence to you. God can renew you in his presence this morning. You say, Lord, you're my sacrifice. You're my offering, Lord. Whatever you have need of, it's in him this morning. You say, Lord, take me to that cross again this morning where you poured out your life. Lord, I pour out my life to you. I say, Lord Jesus, I am nothing. You're everything for me, Lord. Brother Brandon told the story about the man, the ship captain on the boat. And the little boy came to him because the ship captain was dying. And he said, son, lead me to Christ. Speak to me. He said, I don't know him. And he began to read the passage of Isaiah 53. And he said, I make it personal. He said, I read my name in it. He was wounded for Willie Pruitt's transgressions. He was bruised for Willie Pruitt's iniquity. And by his stripes, Willie Pruitt is healed. And he said, son, can I do that? Can I put my name there? He said, yes, you can put your name there. And he said, he was wounded for John Court's transgressions. He was bruised for John Court's iniquities. And by his stripes, John Court was healed. Put your name there this morning and say, Lord Jesus, you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. And by your stripes, I am healed. Let's pray, friends. If you'd like to stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just take simple scriptures, Lord, and talk about your life as a sacrifice, as an offering for our sins this morning. Lord, and we want to be identified with that sacrifice. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions, Lord. You were bruised for our iniquities. The Lord had laid on you the iniquity of us all. Oh, Lord, the Father saw your sacrifice and said it was satisfied, Lord. It was enough. It was enough for each one of us this morning, God. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn forgiveness, but to look to you this morning and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me of my sins. Take away my doubts and my unbeliefs. Take away my iniquities this morning, Lord. Wash me in that blood. Send the power of your Holy Spirit upon each and every heart this morning, Lord. Father, may your presence come, Lord Jesus. May you touch every life in this place, Lord God. Lord, maybe there's some that are sick here this morning. We'd be more than happy, Lord, to anoint with oil, Lord, and to pray, and the Lord shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. You're still a God that works miracles. Father, if there's some that wants to come, Lord, may they come now, and we can pray. Lord, but I pray that you'll touch everyone in this building today, Lord God. May you place a special anointing upon every life, that these scriptures that have been read would make real to them today, Lord. Something would come to life with them today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it, oh God. We bless your name today, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. You've changed our lives. You delivered us from so many things, God. You're the rock of all ages, Lord. You're the deliverer. You're the one who helps us. You're our shepherd, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship him a few moments, friends. Hallelujah. He deserves the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know that song? He was wounded for my transgressions. He was wounded for my transgressions. If you desire prayer, feel free to come forward.
He was bruised for our iniquity.
Once again, as you worship him now, he was wounded.
He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity.
Surely. Surely he bore
Jesus died for me.
The Bible says that he didn't stay there on the cross. But the Bible says he descended into the regions of the lost. And where we should have died and we should have went to hell because we sinned, and the soul that sinneth must surely die. But the Bible says that if you can look to him, you can live. Jesus Christ went to hell for you, friends. He took your name from the cell of hell. And the Bible says that he brought captivity captive. Psalm 24, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He defeated every power of hell. He defeated every power of Satan. He broke the back of Satan. He conquered. The Bible says he conquered death, hell, and the grave. It is he that is now living. John said, John was weeping. He said, who's worthy? And the Bible says John looked. And when he looked, he saw a sacrifice. He saw an offering. He saw a lamb. And he said, behold, the ear of the voice, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He is worthy. The 24 elders sang a new song. He is worthy. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. Oh, lift your eyes to him this morning. Say, Lord, you alone are worthy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. He
bless the name of Jesus. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus Christ the Lord.
Sing it once again now. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Worshiping the Lord. That's what we're here to do, is worship him. Maybe you come burdened down this morning. Our brother, he said, Brother Thaddeus, I just can't. None of us can do it. We're going to leave it at Calvary. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Leave it there, friends. Let it be there. Let it be finished for you at Calvary. Can we sing that song before we go this morning? Leave it there, leave it there. Hallelujah.
Leave it there, leave it there.
Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden
Lord,
and leave it there.
Oh, leave it there.
That will cleanse your heart from sin. That will start the joy bells ringing again. And keep your soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say
I'm one of Him.
Hallelujah.
I'm one of Him. I'm one of Him. I'm so glad. I'm one of Him. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of Him. I'm one of Him. I'm one of Him. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of Him. I'm one of Him. I'm one of Him. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, that's a glorious thing. Praise the Lord. He did that. He made me one of His.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, that right there was just a good old-fashioned sin-killing message from heaven. That's right. That's the gospel right there. Man, that was a great message. Amen. Wonderful presence of the Lord here today. He is so good to us. So good to us. Let's sing one more chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me Whitfield, would you come, my brother, for saving my soul? Thank you, Lord, for he's made me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to
gracious Lord Jesus. Thank you very much, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for reminding us, Lord God. We've got to have you. We've got to have you in our lives, Lord Jesus. Nothing else. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for sending this wonderful message, Lord God. And just this morning, the blessings that you've given us, I pray that you'd just, God, help us live our lives in a way, Lord God, that would be pleasing to you, God, in every way. God is so close, Lord God. The mistakes that we make and the things that we do, God, they're nothing compared to your grace. They're nothing compared to your grace and the mercy that you show us. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. I have nothing to do with it. Help us give everything to you, God, every day. Bless your people, Lord God, as we go our separate ways and meet again this evening, God, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your grace. Bless each one now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.